May 2011, many religious people celebrated the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. This book has stood the test of time. The Bible consists of 66 books in two major sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The original language of the Old Testament was primarily Hebrew. The original New Testament was written in the Greek language. The Bible, or parts of the Bible, have been translated into more than 2,000 languages. Mass distribution began with the invention of printing. One of the most famous Bibles is the Gutenberg Bible, printed with movable type in 1452. Hundreds of millions of Bibles have been distributed over the centuries. And today, the 66 books of the Bible remain one of the world's best sellers. It is a complete book from Genesis to Revelations. In recent years, atheists and agnostics have increased their attack on God and the Bible. Millions of people have accepted these attacks without ever looking into it for themselves. Is this book just a compilation of nomadic stories and myths? Or is this book the revelation of a creator God who loves you and all human beings on earth? Is there a message in this book from outer space that reveals the future of all nations and your ultimate purpose and destiny? Can you trust the Bible to guide your life and the life of your family? Can you prove that the Bible was inspired by God? Yes, you can. Warm greetings to all our friends around the world. The Holy Bible has stood the test of time. Critics have tried to find major errors in its content and prophecies, and they have been proven wrong. Archaeology, for example, has demonstrated the veracity of its historical content. We'll see some examples on today's program. The Bible has consistently been one of the world's best-selling books. Billions of professing Christians over the centuries revere the Bible as divinely inspired. They believe the Bible reveals the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ and instructs us in the way to live peacefully and abundantly. Millions of Jews revere the Old Testament and its three major sections, the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, or the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim, also referred to as the Tanakh. Dozens, if not hundreds, of websites describe the unity of the Bible as one book written by more than 40 authors in three languages, including 66 books or letters over a period of 1,500 years. Various organizations continue year after year to distribute the Bible around the world. One organization estimates that 83 million Bibles are distributed around the world annually. By the end of 2007, Amity Printing Company in Nanjing had printed 50 million Bibles, with 41 million for use within China, and the remaining 9 million translated into 75 different languages for export to other nations. My friends, you may own one or more Bibles. When was the last time you read from your own Bible? The Bible itself challenges us to test all things, to prove what is true. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Or as the Authorized King James Version states it, prove all things. Has the Bible proven that it is historically accurate? Yes, it has. Let's briefly discuss three examples. 1. The critics stated that the Bible's reference to an Assyrian empire were untrue. 2. The critics questioned whether ancient Israel even existed. 3. The critics stated that ancient King David was a legend, invented by scribes around 500 BC, shortly after the Babylonian captivity. First, let's see if the critics were right. Were the Bible's references to Assyria and Nineveh invented by ancient writers? Back in the 18th century, critics even questioned the existence of the Assyrian Empire and the existence of the ancient city-state of Nineveh mentioned in the Bible. The Luck of Nineveh is a fascinating account of the famous British archaeologist Austin Henry Layard. The author, Arnold C. Brackman, writes in his foreword, "In 1817, when Austin Henry Layard was born, there was no tangible proof that Nineveh, the seat of the Assyrian Empire, which reputedly had endured longer than any empire before or since, ever existed. For that matter, there was no evidence that there ever was an Assyrian Empire." The critics, of course, ridiculed the Bible, which referred to both Nineveh and the Assyrian Empire. Brackman continues on page 12. "An increasing number of skeptics, however, sneered at tales about Nineveh and treated it as a legend that belonged to an age of fables. For them, there had never been a Nineveh any more than there had ever been a Troy." The archaeologist Austin Henry Layard eventually discovered Nineveh, and the artifacts in the British Museum in London, the Louvre in Paris, the Oriental Institute Museum in Chicago, and other locales give overwhelming evidence to the historical accuracy of this ancient empire described in the Bible. The critics were proved wrong. The Bible was and is accurate in its references to Nineveh and Assyria. The second criticism we mentioned was that ancient Israel did not even exist. Archaeology has confirmed it in ancient history. The Israel Stela, a stone slab discovered in 1896 at Thebes in Egypt, is the oldest evidence of ancient Israel outside of the Bible. The stone monument, which I've seen in the Cairo Museum, records the military triumph of Pharaoh Meremta of the 13th century BC. It states, "Israel is devastated, having no seed. Syria is widowed because of Egypt." Again, the critics have been proved wrong. And the third allegation by critics was that ancient King David was a legend invented around 500 BC by Hebrew scribes. U.S. News and World Report magazine, October 25, 1999, featured a cover article entitled, "Is the Bible True? Extraordinary Insights from Archaeology and History." A team of archaeologists were digging in the ancient ruins of the city of Dan in Upper Galilee. Avraham Baran led the team. They discovered a basalt stone monument from the 9th century BC. The stela, or monument, commemorated a military victory of the king of Damascus over two ancient enemies. One foe, the fragment identified, as the king of Israel. The other was the house of David. Now, why should this be so significant? Note the next sentence. The reference to David was a historical bombshell. Never before had the familiar name of Judah's ancient warrior king, a central figure of the Hebrew Bible, and according to Christian scripture, an ancestor of Jesus, been found in the records of antiquity outside the pages of the Bible. Now listen to this. Skeptics had long seized upon that fact to argue that David was a mere legend, invented by Hebrew scribes during or shortly after Israel's Babylonian exile, roughly 500 years before the birth of Christ. Now at last, there was material evidence, an inscription written not by Hebrew scribes, but by an enemy of the Israelites a little more than a century after David's presumptive lifetime. Again, the critics have been proved wrong. The Bible is historically accurate. Most reputable Bible dictionaries catalog many more archaeological discoveries that confirm the historical accuracy of the Bible. But there are other proofs to support the claim of divine inspiration. Dr. Douglas Winnale comments on archaeological discoveries supporting the Bible's historical accuracy. There have been dozens of other remarkable discoviers. The Merneptah Stela describes an Egyptian pharaoh conquering Israel, circa 1200 BC. The black obelisk from Nimrud pictures Israelite King Jehu bowing before Assyrian King Shalmaneser III. An inscription near Jerusalem refers to Joseph, son of Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest in Jerusalem at the time of Christ's crucifixion. See Matthew 26, verse 57. An inscribed stone from 1st century Caesarea reads, Pontius Pilate, the prefect of Judea. Pilate was the Roman governor at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. See Matthew 27, verse 2. Such evidence, carved in stone, supports the conclusion that the Bible writers were recording facts and not fiction. Yes, my friends, time and again, we've seen that archaeology has demonstrated the historical accuracy of the Bible. Biased critics have been proven wrong time and again. So is God able to ensure that the Scriptures, as originally inspired, would be faithfully preserved and transmitted to us in the 21st century? Again, let's look at the claim of the Bible, and in this case, the statement of Jesus of Nazareth, Matthew 5 and verse 18. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. The jot or yud Jesus referred to is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and the tittle is a tiny mark or projection associated with Hebrew letters. Christ was clearly stating that not only the words of the Old Testament would be faithfully preserved, but the letters as well. The Bible itself promises that its words, the words of God and the revelation of God, will be faithfully preserved. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 21 and verse 33. Jesus stated in Luke 21, verse 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." The Bible's claim is verified by the historical record. Listen to these comments by famous archaeologists as quoted in the booklet, The Bible, Fact or Fiction. The manner in which archaeology has verified the historical accuracy of the Bible has been nothing short of remarkable. As noted archaeologist Nelson Glick has written, "It may be clearly stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a single Bible reference. Scores of archaeological findings have been made which confirm in clear outline or exact detail historical statements in the Bible." And that's from Rivers in the Desert by Glick, page 136. Glick's comments echo the words of another prominent archaeologist, William F. Albright, who stated, "There can be no doubt that archaeology has confirmed the substantial historicity of Old Testament tradition." The excessive skepticism shown toward the Bible by important historical schools of the 18th and 19th centuries has been progressively discredited. Yes, my friends, the skeptics and the critics have been progressively discredited. Thank God that you can prove the Bible. You can prove its inspiration and accuracy. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. The Apostle Paul was writing to the evangelist Timothy. Notice at the time, the New Testament had not been completed. Paul was telling him that the Scriptures, the Old Testament that Timothy had studied, were able to reveal God's truth and salvation. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Hebrew Scriptures were called holy. Combined with the new revelation of the Messiah, they assured the way to salvation. But notice the next verse and the inspiring claim of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Yes, God inspired all Scripture. The Greek word translated inspiration of God is theopneustos, which means God breathed. The New International Version translates the verse this way: all Scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Is there evidence that the Scriptures have been preserved faithfully? Let's look at the book of Isaiah as an example of the Bible's preservation. In 1947, as part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, two copies of the book of Isaiah were discovered in Qumran Cave No. 1. These were dated to 1,000 years earlier than any existing manuscripts of Isaiah. Had the words of Isaiah been preserved faithfully? Here is what one textbook reports. They proved to be word for word identical with our standard Hebrew Bible in more than 95% of the text. The 5% of variation consisted chiefly of obvious slips of the pen and variations in spelling. These variations do not affect the message of Revelation in the slightest. Of course, the Qumran sect that preserved the Dead Sea Scrolls was not even recognized by the Jewish community to officially approve such texts, which makes the coherence of such textual accuracy even more remarkable. If an unrecognized sect could preserve such accurate text, one must imagine the precision of the recognized scribes. According to the Apostle Paul, God gave the Jewish community the responsibility of preserving the Old Testament Scriptures. Speaking of the Jews, Paul writes in Romans 3, verse 2, "To them were committed the oracles of God," or as the NIV translates it, "they have been entrusted with the very words of God." Indeed, history shows that scribes called Masoretes have faithfully handwritten the Scriptures. The official Hebrew text is called the Masoretic text. These scribes were so meticulous, they counted all of the letters and all of the words in a given book to make sure there were no variations, even in the letters of the text. The text of the New Testament, written in the Greek language, was preserved in the Greek-speaking world. The King James Version of 1611 was primarily translated from the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek received text known as the Textus Receptus. Thousands of manuscripts testify to the accuracy of the New Testament. Again, as in the case of the Isaiah scroll, variations in the Greek manuscripts are minor and they do not affect the message of Revelation or the fundamental teaching. Do errors creep into the translations? Yes, some errors, such as the late edition of 1 John 5:7, are easily identified in the Latin or English translations. But with so many manuscripts to cross-check possible problems, we can have absolute confidence in the claims of the Bible. Yes, the Bible itself claims that all Scripture is inspired by God, as it states in 2 Timothy 3:16. To teach that part of the Bible is not inspired by God rejects the Bible itself. In his 1976 book, The Battle for the Bible, Dr. Harold Lindzell emphasizes the point. Inspiration may be defined as the inward work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and minds of chosen men who then wrote the Scriptures so that God got written what He wanted. The Bible in all of its parts constitutes the written word of God to man. This word is free from all error in its original autographs. It is wholly trustworthy in matters of history and doctrine. Dr. Lindzell is exactly correct on that point. If the Bible is God-breathed, as it states in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16 in the NIV translation, then surely He is able to preserve His word for human beings. That is what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. The word of the Lord endures forever. Now, let's examine another specific prophecy in the Bible. As we've pointed out on previous programs, the prophecies of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 harmonize with Revelation 13 and 17. Bible prophecy refers to the final world-ruling empire before the return of Jesus Christ as a symbolic beast with 10 horns. The Apostle John sees in vision a woman dressed like a harlot riding the beast. She is called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. God reveals the meaning of this vision in Revelation 17, verse 11. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. History in the book of Revelation revealed that there remains another revival of the last empire in Daniel's prophecy. The Roman Empire has experienced six revivals, which we've documented in previous programs and in our publications. The final revival will unify 10 kings or kingdoms that will ultimately fight against the returning King of Kings, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Bible prophecy and history reveal that the territory once occupied by the Roman Empire would once again fall under her control. More than 50 years ago, when it looked as if the Iron Curtain would solidify the Soviet Union's control for ages to come, one of God's ministers, Herbert W. Armstrong, wrote that Russia will be forced to relinquish her control over Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and parts of Austria. In 1956, after Russia's invasion of Hungary, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "The way is being prepared for a colossal third force in world politics, a European Federation of Nations, more powerful than either Russia or the United States. We have shown years in advance what would happen to Russia's ill-fated empire in Eastern Europe." On today's program, we've seen several proofs that the Bible is true. But there is another way you can test the Bible, and that is by practicing its principles and precepts. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus quoted this statement from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. God was allowing the ancient Israelites on their exodus from Egypt to learn a deeper spiritual lesson. Moses spoke to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. "So he," God, "humbled you, allowed you to hunger, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." Once you begin to practice the principles of the Bible, you'll begin to have an understanding you've never had before. As it tells us in Psalm 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." My friends, genuine Christianity is not just a one-day-a-week religion. It is a way of life. The early Christians were referred to in the book of Acts as the Way. As you read through the book of Acts, you will find several references to the Way. Acts 24, 14, for example. My friends, that way of life includes daily prayer. I've had thousands of prayers answered based on the Bible's wonderful promises. Answered prayer based on the Bible proves both God's existence and the inspiration of the Bible. Again, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Not everyone is willing to apply this proof, but it is one that will result in joy and fulfillment to the degree that one follows Christ's instructions and the inspired principles of the Bible. We all need to live by the Word of God, the Bible. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. In his prayer for his disciples, he emphasized the source of truth, John 17, 17. "Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth." Yes, my friends, God's Word, the Bible, is truth. You need to read and study it daily. The Bible reveals the way to life beyond death. The Bible reveals the real meaning and purpose of life. The Bible teaches us how to improve relationships and to get along with people in a godly way. The Bible teaches principles for true success, fulfillment, and happiness. And the Bible reveals the future and how we can prepare for it. My friends, can you trust the Bible? Yes, you can. It is your life and your future. The Bible is God's instruction book to all humanity, and it gives us hope for the future. And may God bless you as you seek its instruction, revelation, and truth. There are many more examples and proofs demonstrating the divine authority of the Bible. If you'd like to learn more about this subject, please go to our website that will be shown momentarily and read the booklet, The Bible, Fact or Fiction. And be sure to come back next week, same time, same station, when Gerald Weston and I will explain more about tomorrow's world and the Christian way of life revealed in the Holy Bible.
If you would like to learn more about today's topic, visit tomorrowsworldhk.com to view or order the Bible, Fact or Fiction. This free offer looks at several amazing proofs that the Bible is the authentic Word of God. tomorrowsworldhk.com also has valuable articles revealing God's principles for living an abundant and happy life, while providing rare insight into current and future events. Use the quick response code shown on the screen to read, download, or order a free copy of today's offer. You can also watch or download a copy of today's program and sign up for Tomorrow's World weekly e-newsletter. All these features are also available at tomorrowsworldhk.com. The preceding program has been produced by the Living Church of God.